Hey guys, it's Mark Roberts. Welcome to Let's Get Into Entertainment. Today we are going to get into the business of entertainment. We have Connor Husting on the show. He's an actor. He's a musician. He's a creator. He's a filmmaker. He's also starring in Ashley Garcia, Genius in Love. And we're going to talk about all kinds of things. We're going to talk about music. We're going to talk about how he got started. We're going to talk about how he became an actor, a musician, and how he does it all. Connor Husting, coming up next. Welcome to Let's Get Into Entertainment, the business of entertainment.
That was good, Robert.
Yeah, you like that? Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to introduce Tootie.
Hungover today.
2000 Tootie.
2000 Tootie.
I like that one. That's going to... Well, no, because that's fucked up, because 2000 is a bad year. That's fucked up.
Yeah, we got Davey Dave on the ones and twos. What up? Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, guys.
We are going to talk about creation. We're going to talk about scripts. We're going to talk about independent film. We're going to talk about the expanding universe of Ashley Garcia, which, by the way, is not called that anymore.
Exactly. What's it called?
It's called Ashley Garcia.
What? When did that happen?
I guess what's the difference, right?
Genius in Love.
Genius. Right. Genius. Is that right? Genius in Love?
Yeah, can you change the name of a show midway through?
Apparently they did.
Are you kidding me?
Even through a whole season they changed it.
No, I know. That's what's crazy.
How do you decide that?
I'm just going to start changing shit.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about the business of television. We are with Connor Husting. Dude, hi. I didn't know how that's how you said your name, but welcome to the show.
Thank you for having
me. Yes, sir.
Dude, it's first of all, it's awesome to see you again.
Yeah, I love you, man.
I love you, man. We spend a lot of time together because we worked on Ashley Garcia together. You're incredible on the show. You know what? What's really interesting about producing product and working on television shows and stuff is that there's an idea. Then there's someone like Seth Curlin who comes in and expands. Yeah, he's amazing. He expands the idea. Then he brings in David Kendall, and they put their two brains together, and that becomes like a super brain.
And they bring in Mark Roberts.
Then they lose a couple cells.
Tequila. You're like, what happened?
No, but they create like these cool ideas, and all the and they have to think so far ahead. Like, oh, if he does this in this episode, he's going to have to pay that off in the seventh episode, and then when we get to the eighth episode, and it's a cliffhanger. You know, that's like that already made my brain hurt. But before we get into how you figured out your character, which is really unique, how did you get the part?
When I first started acting, I was 17, and
you're 18 now.
I'm 20 now.
Roberts.
I was 17, and I started auditioning. I got into it through a family friend who just said, hey, I met him for the first time. He said, hey, I'm a manager. Like, have you ever done acting? I said, no. And he said, well, can I put you out in auditions? And I said, yeah, I'm not doing anything.
Wait, time out. So no prior experience on stage or anything?
I did plays.
Okay, well, that's something.
Yeah.
All right, so there was a little bit of a fire. So your acting was like you were a tree in a play.
Yeah. We'll call it that.
All right, so go on, sorry.
But I started going out on auditions, and I was auditioning. I didn't book anything.
Did you like the process?
I was having fun. So I just didn't know what I wanted to do. So I was going on auditions for a year. I didn't book anything. And then I took classes with a woman named Leslie Kahn, who's great, fantastic. And I did like a multi-camera class.
Uh-huh.
The next three auditions were this audition for Prince of Peoria, and I got it. And it was like a reoccurring guest star. Robert Prince was working on it.
Oh, wow.
That's how he kind of got me.
Yeah, and Robert Prince, the genius executive, the genius child executive over at Netflix. No, he's been around for years and years, but people really do credit him as being a genius of multicam.
He's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I did that, and then for another year, I didn't book anything else, and kind of my agreement to my parents was that I would give it a try for a year, and if it wasn't working out, I would just drop it.
That sounds like a lot of successful actors. I've heard that one before.
Yeah. And so, this next year after Prince of Peoria, I don't book anything. It's kind of time for me to... I'm missing my college years, so I started applying for colleges, and mentally I was checked out for acting. And then I got sent on this audition for Ashley Garcia, And I was so checked out. I did not read the lines. I was over it. So I went to the audition and I sat there and I read the lines and I read them like a single camera. You know, it wasn't.
Wait, hang on time. So you're saying you went and they said, oh, Mr. Connor Houston, come right in. And you walked in and you hadn't looked. You weren't.
Connor Houston.
I had not.
Not Connor looked. Houston, Holmes.
Houston.
Is it Houston?
Houston.
Houston. Yeah.
Houston. Oh, Justin. Perdón, yes. Perdón. Ese mexicano, perdón.
Yeah. Come on, come on.
Wait, hang on. I don't want to get off topic. So you went and you were like, yeah, I'll do the casting thing.
Just but so but my it, manager
yeah, just,
wouldn't.
Yeah, because you felt obligated. Yeah. You're like, I'll do it. So you go in there. You hadn't read it. You were reading right off of the paper.
Yes,
right off the paper. Oh, my God. Okay, go.
And I was doing it like a single cam, all serious. None of the goofiness was there. And I left. And I just figured that'd be the end of it. And then they called me back, memorized.
You're like, what a waste of time.
Yeah. So I went back and I did it again. Really, it was not a strong audition. It was still weak.
Yeah. But you know what? One thing I know about you is that you're a little overcritical because I've seen you do amazing work and you come off and you're going, is that okay? Did you think that was all right?
Yeah. I'm a bit cynical, but it really was not good. And so they couldn't find a character, someone to play, Tad. And they had a meeting about it. And Robert Prince said, why don't you bring this kid Connor Houston in? He said, we have brought him in. And he's not very good.
Right.
And he said, bring him in one more time.
Are you sure she said that?
Yeah, yeah. I got the information from casting director and everything.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So I went back for the third audition. And someone said something like, do it like Tanner, which is the character I played in Prince of Peoria.
Oh, okay.
It's the same character. I mean, a lot of the work I did for that character, I just brought on for Tad.
Wow.
Except Tad's a bit more three-dimensional.
Right.
So I did someone said, you know, do it like Tanner, and I did. And
well, it was Robert Prince.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
And it just clicked, and I was all over the walls, and I was goofy. And then I did the chemistry read, and I prepared for it. I felt like I took that part from the chemistry read. Yeah. I felt like I went in there and just
nailed it.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. So you were sort of done with it. You had made a promise that you were going to move on with your life, do whatever was coming next.
Yeah.
And then you got probably the part of your life.
Yeah. I mean, it's the best part I've had.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. It's look, if what we're talking about, just to be clear, is we're talking about a series that's on Netflix. It's the second season drops on the 20th, which is July 20th, 2020, and and it's doing incredibly well. It's sort of a Mexican American based idea, which I'm really proud of.
So cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. And Connor, you are Tad in the show, and you're amazing in it, and you're just you're part of a really cool ensemble. So so that's exciting that's how you got the part. So then when you showed up on, I mean, you guys had to kind of do this really fast. Did it feel, I mean, because there was a lot of scripts.
Yeah.
Right. In a very short period of time. I know that we started the season and there was some written, but things were sort of coming out at you.
Yeah.
It's not like you had a whole bunch of time to see the scripts, right? Mm-hmm. You'd get it every week and you'd start working on it.
A week to do.
How, were you comfortable with your character? Like, how long did it take for you to get 100% with that you felt comfortable with what you were doing? First episode, second episode?
I think the first episode I was pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
I'd watched a lot of that 70s show and a lot of Friends because of Joey and Kelso.
Right.
I was trying to kind of,
now that you mention it, yeah, it Joey, that. that's like a perfect example of how you pull that off. Yeah.
I was just trying to find the goofy characters in all the shows, and I just felt good about it. And, you know, I'd done it in the other show.
Yeah.
So I felt pretty good about it. I knew what I was going to do with the character.
Yeah. And you did a great job. Was Prince of Peoria?
Multicamera. Yeah.
It was?
Yeah.
You guys really pulled it off and you were funny. I think I was telling my daughter, who's 16, who loves the show. She was telling me, Dad, it's, she said to me the other day, she was like, I was at my friend's house. And the show is tracking, or no, what is it called when it's when Trending, yeah. Yeah, she said it's trending.
Oh, damn.
Sorry, dude, rating. I'm old.
It's still
oh, my God. The Ponderosa. But it was, yeah, it was trending. So I know that, I know it's doing well, but we were laughing because I said, you know, Connor did this one episode where I forgot what the line was. I know I blew the line, but it was like, you got to try things that you've never done before. And then you did a backflip.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you were like, see, like I've never done that before.
Never tried that before. That was actually a funny shot because they used the clip
where you almost fell. Do you remember? Do you remember on set they didn't? They were like, "Oh yeah, we're not going to use that one."
Yeah, yeah, no, because and then in hindsight, you know, it's the if he's never done a backflip before, it makes sense that he stumbles.
Yeah.
So they used that one. Yeah.
But you delivered your line, even though like you were off balance, you know, you kind of stopped, you delivered it and it was brilliant. It was very funny. So where did the backflip come from? Like, how did that come up?
They knew I could flip and they wanted to just write it in.
They did write it in. They knew you could do it.
Yeah, they threw it in there. Yeah.
It was very impromptu. I was like, what in the world? Right?
Yeah.
Because you just, and then what was also cool is that there was no stuntman, right? It was just you.
No, just me.
And you had to keep doing it over and over again. And eventually everyone got nervous and you're like, no, I could do it again.
Yeah, no. Everyone, they were trying to put a mat down and do it you're with like, the mat. And like, guys,
I could do this.
I can do this.
How many could you have done? How many have you done back to back? Like, can you do 10 of them?
I think if a director wanted me to do 10 backflips, I would bite it.
All right. And the other question is, how did you learn how to backflip?
I was in sixth grade. Parkour.
Yeah.
I was watching all these YouTube videos on parkour and I just wanted to be able to do that. So I ended up going to a place called Tempest Free Running Academy.
Yeah. I've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. There. And so I took like some summer camp classes there and I learned how to.
Isn't that near Tesla? Yeah, it's right in that area, right? Tempest, they have all kinds of areas where you can join. Anyway, my kids had parties there. That's why.
Yeah, it's the best. I mean, it's for a kid. Just
so do you find that the talents that you have in your life, you know, like backflipping or I know that you're a musician. Do you find that they get used a lot in the characters that you play? Or
I think they do. I love incorporating them. So I'll remind, you know, people how that I can do it.
Yeah.
Directors and the producers. And,
yeah.
But so far they do get used.
That's amazing too. When you think about all the actors that are in Ashley, cause it's a big cast. Mm-hmm. You know, Seth is very musical.
Yes.
Jen is very musical. You're musical. I think
Reed plays
the guitar, right? Did you guys start a band?
No, we didn't.
Paulina's
very musical.
Unknown to most people, Bella can very much so hold a tune.
Really?
Yeah.
So you guys are all super talented. I think that the Seth being musical helped sort of move some music into the show.
Yeah.
I'm sure that if the show goes on, knock on wood, you'll be, you know, Tad will be doing some music here and there eventually.
I think even we had a Zoom meeting the other night. Do you knew about it?
No.
Okay. Well,
they don't tell. I'm on a need to know basis.
Yeah, that's how. It feels
and I didn't need to know.
It was just how can we something musical like all of us together.
Yeah. Are you going to do it?
I think so.
Yeah. As soon as COVID's over.
Yeah. Or like a Zoom, like one person will record the drums, one person record the guitar.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Put it all together.
But I heard that, sorry, dude, okay. Brand new shoes.
Yeah.
I heard that there is, that's not easy to do. Do you know anything about that? Like, I heard that you can't just, because you can't even Zoom interview somebody without it being cut off.
It's all that glitchy.
So you just have to film it separately
and
put it all together.
I had a guest on, I'm sorry, we had a guest.
You
on.
Had
not,
a guest.
I, not I, not a we. But we had a guest on with Caroline Grope, I remember.
Yeah.
She recorded her own.
We got to have her back on. Like
yeah.
This,
she recorded her own recording and sent it to me later. And that's the best Zoom interview we had.
Well, she has a podcast too. So she knew, you know.
She knew what she was doing.
Yeah.
Before we knew what we were doing. We didn't know what the hell
we
were doing.
Yeah, she told us. She's like, I'm going to record my stuff. I'm going to send it to you. It's going to be cleaner than yours. And that's that.
You're amazing in Ashley Garcia. The cast is amazing. I just worked, Mario and I just worked with, and Tootie, just worked with Paulina on Feliz Navidad, which she's also very musical in, and she's great in. But I'm really hoping that we get the opportunity to do more Ashley.
Yeah, I would. I mean, it just left on the second part isn't out yet, but at the end of that, I think everyone's going to really want more episodes.
Dude,
it leaves off on such a cliffhanger.
This next eight is amazing, and it would be hard not to come back after that eighth episode. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Plus, there's a Burrito King in there.
I heard he's pretty good.
Yeah.
He also appears in Feliz Navidad as a mariachi.
That's player. Right. I'm just curious why I'm always playing ethnic.
I wonder. Do you have mirrors in your house?
But, you know, I don't know if you've experienced this because I met your parents.
Yeah.
Your mom and your dad are amazing.
Amazing.
They're great people. I had lunch with your mom a few times while she was hanging out visiting.
Whoa.
Take it easy, Burrito King.
It was a communal lunch. We were all eating together.
Yes.
But it was so fun. It always starts as a communal lunch. It was so fun to sit with your mom, with Paulina's mom.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I think it was Paulina's dad, too. But we were all sitting there, and there came a point where we were all speaking Spanish, you know, and sort of discussing just normal life. And you know, I was born here. I was born in Los Angeles. My family are, you know, they're immigrants. But Mario and I and Tutti and I and Davey and I, we always talk about how, you know, the blood running through our veins is very powerful, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of times cultural conversations or food, it makes you feel at home, you know, and talking to your mom and having a conversation with Paulina's mom, Patty Chavez, I want to call her. It just makes you feel at home, you know. Your mom is Latina.
Yeah, she was born in Mexico.
Right, and your dad is not.
My dad is not.
No.
He was born in somewhere in Chicago.
Yeah.
Illinois.
You're a beautiful mix of both.
Yes, I'm a hybrid.
Know? Yeah. Which is what and it's what America's all about.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about this a lot, especially as creators, as people that are involved in filmmaking and creating new ideas and scripts and stuff. People are starting to realize that, you know, when you're born here, you are distinctly American, and you have all of these cultural things that you get from your mom, that you get from your dad, that you get from other people. And, you know, I didn't speak Spanish when I was growing up. I feel a lot more. And I'm older, I'm over 50, but I feel a lot, as I grew up, I got a lot more connected to who I was and what my roots were. And, you know, hanging out with Mario, hanging out with Davey, Dave, hanging out with Tutti made me feel,
youthful player.
Yeah.
That's
made me feel youthful, but also made me feel more connected, you know, because these guys love using the vernacular that I grew up around.
Yeah.
And we're comfortable in that, and more so than I've ever been, because I've never
said bitchin' as much as I have since I've been around Roberts.
Or vato. I've never said vato more than I have in the past 3 months.
Well, hanging out, Jen, Carlos and I have become really good friends.
Yeah.
I mean, we hang out pretty often, and his whole
don't tell him the story about I went against him.
Oh yeah,
what a dick.
His whole community is of friends is, you know, they all speak Spanish.
Yeah.
And they all eat a lot of the same foods that I grew up with. And so it's cool because I don't speak Spanish.
Right.
And
you don't?
I know.
I was gonna say.
And I need to learn because being around them has made me kinda like
that's how you're gonna learn though. You're gonna learn by being around them. And also if you ever decide that you really want to get into it. Just go to Mexico.
That's what I want.
Hang out for 3-4 months.
I want to go to Costa Rica.
Yeah, or hang out there for 3-4 months.
And learn Spanish, right?
And you will, dude, because put in a situation like that where you have to speak every day to get your food, to get your money, to do whatever you're going to do, you end up figuring it out.
That's kind of what happened to you, right?
Exactly what happened to me. I didn't speak at all, and then my mom dropped me off with some cousins in Mexico City, and I stayed there for an entire summer.
Story.
I came back. And I was like, you know, I was fluent.
That's amazing.
Well, because you don't forget, you know, you've heard it. Yeah. And by the way,
he said, when are we leaving? She said,
you're not leaving.
Yeah, you're staying here.
We're going to leave you here forever. But I ended up staying. And yeah, I did. I learned a lot about, you know, about my family. I learned a lot about who I was. I learned, I mean, I don't want to get super personal about it, but it became a turning point in my life because I realized how loved I was.
Yeah.
You know, because out here you're like, oh, I got your transplant family and that's all you got.
Yeah.
Right. When you go back, somewhere like that, where someone knew my mom and they grew up with my mom in Mexico, and they now see me and they love me as much as they, you know, it's just a really weird
family
cultural thing.
Is
yeah.
A huge part.
Yeah.
The culture.
So yeah. I learned a lot and I changed, you know, I came back going like, fuck, I'm loved, man. And I'm handsome and people love me out here, you know, and I came back here to LA and I was like, you know, things aren't so bad. I've got an entire country that thinks I'm pretty cool. So
I don't give a shit what you say.
Yeah, he's Los Angeles.
Just not as handsome out here.
Right. I was a little less handsome. But the attitude that I brought from Mexico changed everything. But
cool.
Yeah, it is very cool. And you know, and also my mom does not speak, you know, she's been here for 60 years. She still can't speak perfect English. It's all broken. Yeah. But so I speak a lot of Spanish with her. I'm surprised you don't speak Spanish with your mom.
They tried teaching my brother Spanish and English while he was growing up, and my older brother, and he was falling behind in school.
Right.
And they wouldn't, you know, pander to him learning two languages at once, so they kind of just stopped.
Yeah, and you have to. I mean, look, you are as kids, you know, we also say like, hey, we're in America, mom, come on, knock it off, like, you know. But it's important to know two languages. And if you ever do get the chance, you're still young. So if you ever do get the chance to just go hang out in Costa Rica and surf and just speak with the locals, it's amazing. I mean, we're never going to speak like Giancarlos, where Giancarlos is like, you know, tú sabes, quiero mucho y quiero hablar con mi gente, like, you know, that whole thing. Like, it's romancing me. I don't even know what he's talking about, but it's all political and awesome. And you're throwing your panties at him. It's he's
with his blue eyes and his perfect.
Yeah.
You know, I thought he was wearing contacts the first time.
Oh, really?
Lame ass wearing contacts.
Yeah, with the perfect hair.
Yeah, and
it's a perfect delivery.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, but
he's got beautiful eyes.
He's a beautiful guy. You know, I sit there in front of him, and I have a very difficult time looking straight in his face because I'm like, hang on a sec, hey.
Don't come clean right now, bro.
I'm married. I'm not coming out on the show.
He's also one of the kindest, most generous guys I've ever met.
You know, we had him on the show, and I talked about that. I talked about how he brought all this love to everybody. I would see him on a daily basis, and I would go to him, and if he was involved in a conversation, he would continue his conversation, and it didn't matter who he was talking to. He could be talking to, like, the craft service guy about whatever, like, about life, and he made that conversation really important to him. So I found that really, really
cool. He
didn't
do that to Lopez, I guarantee it. Lopez came up and said, hey, come here.
Can I talk to you for a second? Right. Well, that's different because Lopez is a force of nature. But no, he would. And I don't know that he would. I bet you Giancarlos would probably not end his conversation. But he would. But you're right. He's a beautiful soul. He loves people. Yeah. He loves talking about just about anything you want to talk about under the sun. And he gives off all the love that you could possibly want, you know, from a human being. He's not afraid of people like Tootie. Tootie's afraid of people.
That's true.
Tootie's been bitten before.
That's you've been bitten, so you're like that dog in the CNN commercial.
I'm afraid. I saw that heavy bag in your garage, Robert.
Yeah, we put it up today. Really? Well, I'm not saying you can't beat me up. That's for sure. Take it easy.
We're going to start training.
Let's move on because part of the reason people listen to the show is that they get a lot of inspiration. Your story about starting acting is pretty amazing and cool because there's characters in TV shows and in movies that you're like, you know, they're not all the same, right? Not all the characters are the same. It's nice to have somebody who's like the comedic sort of release, you know, that's almost a cartoon type character,
absolutely.
You know,
I think of Tad as a cartoon.
Yeah. Sure. And Tad is what I love about Tad is that he's smart. He's handsome, right? He's popular. And at the same time, he has all of these elements like, you know, one of my favorite things that you did on the show was when you're eating the spaghetti in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And the line is
no meatballs.
Your line is no meatballs. But the line that leads you into that is like, do you have any questions? I'm glad you mentioned Joey from Friends because he does that too, right? That character, you appreciate him. You're like, oh, he's funny and he's handsome and he's sort of, you know, and he gets away with a lot of stuff and Tad does too.
Yeah. appreciate you saying that.
Were those like improvised or were they written or both? Just curious.
Written.
Yeah, written.
Did they let you improvise a lot there or not really?
No, not really. There were a couple moments, but yeah, overall it was very scripted.
Yeah.
So tell me about your music, dude. So where did music come from in your life?
Well, growing up in the 2000s.
Growing up in the 2000s.
What is that?
Like, I was born in 2000.
Yeah.
So
that's crazy.
That's crazy.
I don't even know what that means.
And I'm not saying that, you know, that music that was going on then is bad, because I think everyone has their preference, and to put down a music genre is really lame, because, you know, everyone has their tastes and that's how it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I really did not like the music that was happening, the music that I was hearing on the radio.
What was popular? What was sort of popular?
Like Britney Spears, and stuff like that.
That feels recent.
Yeah. So it was very pop. So I didn't really like music growing up. I just hadn't been exposed to music that I liked. And then in like eighth grade, I heard that song, Are You Gonna Be My Girl by Jet.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, whoa.
What's that?
I want it. So I went home and we had a guitar in the garage, and I went on YouTube and I learned how to play the song. And then from there I was kind of hooked, and I just...
And you started playing music, the things that you liked. You realized there was new types of music out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's been a scene going on in LA and Chicago, of kind of garage rock going on since like 2009.
Yeah.
Like with Ty Siegel and all those kind of bands that started the resurgence.
Is garage rock kind of like grunge? Is that kind of similar? Like Nirvana?
There are so many subgenres and genres. Garage rock, I think, to me, is just a couple friends making rock music in a garage.
Right.
You know, it's just that sound. We don't know what we're doing.
And are you in a band?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. So when I was a freshman, or no, when I was a sophomore, I started a band with my buddies, and it didn't last very long. And then kind of this recently, I started a band with my good friend Chase, and it's been fun. We started playing shows and they were going really well, and then COVID happened. It was just like
And you play with Giancarlo too.
Yeah, right? We're writing some music right now.
See, dude, this business is all about being creative. Like, when you have there was a time before 2000, there was a time back in the day where you were one thing or another. You were a producer, you were a musician. I mean, there were people that were doing everything, but it was rare.
Yeah.
Now, it's almost like if you're a creative soul, if you're an actor, if you're a singer, if you're a musician, you could write, you can create stories, you can create movies, like whatever, you can do it all.
You know, and what though, Roberts? Neat. I just listened to this podcast about this William Desmond Taylor. He was a director who got killed here in L.A. in 1922.
Yeah.
1922. And they're talking about the silent film era, and it's all about Hollywood. It's a true story. And there was a triple threat. This woman, she wrote, she directed, and she edited, which was pretty unique for 1922 and being a woman.
And a woman, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, don't give me the wow.
No, I'm very impressed.
That's pretty crazy for then, back then, because you're right. It's normally like silver screen, you did TV, you didn't do film.
Well, if you can go way back. You could think about Charlie Chaplin was huge. He did all kinds of stuff.
Well, ironically, they talk about him because one of the main characters in this introduced Chaplin to Hollywood. Her name was Mabel Normand. She was a comedic actress. It's so crazy. It's so relevant to how drugs and corruption and everything.
There were people that did it all, and there's just a lot more of it now. Now you're like, there's no constraints. You can make music. You can create stuff. It's amazing. So, dude, congratulations on all the stuff you're doing. Did COVID slow you down in terms of auditioning, or have you been doing any of this?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, everything got shut down for a bit. Just started auditioning again, and we're doing self-tapes.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
So it's opening up a bit.
So yeah, it's starting to open up.
All right, beer break. All right, we're back from our beer break. We're here with Connor Husting, actor, musician, star, along with many other stars, star of Ashley Garcia. Wait, that's not what it's called. What's it called, Connor?
Isn't it now called Ashley Garcia, Genius in Love?
Oh, my goodness.
Damn.
Instead Ashley of the expanded Garcia, universe of Ashley Garcia.
Genius in Love.
Wait, so did they change the second season? Like, second season gets a new title?
Well, yeah,
part two, I guess, gets a new title?
Yeah, part two gets a new title. I don't know why, except for, I guess it was tracking, it was complicated to track.
You know where you guys are most popular at?
In India. No.
Africa.
Do you actually
Africa.
Know that stuff?
That's right.
Yeah.
Where's Africa?
Yeah. We're most popular in Africa?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Isn't that cool? Yeah. Have you gotten any emails? Have you gotten any fan mail?
Yeah, I get calls. I don't know how people get my number, but I get calls. I get emails for sure.
What do they say?
Mostly DMs, though.
Yeah.
They slide into the DM? They just say, is this Connor? Like, who is this?
and then they hang up?
It's a little creepy, yeah. Or like in email.
It could be my daughter.
In emails and DMs, it's more like, I love you so much, blah, blah, blah. Which is nice. To my DMs, I respond to a lot of them.
Let me ask you. That's really nice of you. Let me ask you something. Did you ever have a crush when you were a kid on an actress?
Sure, of course. I mean, Angelina Jolie and, you know, all the obvious ones. But I never...
You never sent them
I'm very untech savvy.
Yeah.
It's not good. I mean, I have social media and everything. I'm bad at it. But I'm getting better. I'm trying to get better at it.
I'm gonna make a confession. When I was little, I was in love, like full on in love. Like I was certain I was in love with Phoebe Cates. You know who Phoebe Cates is? Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And I still have to this day, I'm 54, okay? I still have to this day a folder with like every magazine. Like anytime I saw her in a magazine, I would tear out the page and I wrote like her name. And I colored it on paper. I mean, dude, I was a little kid, but it was definitely a crush.
You couldn't have been that little, dude. That movie came out.
I was at least 27 or 26.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I was just
you were
kidding.
Like a little kid.
No, I was a little kid.
I thought you were going to say your video cassette was all, or your tape was all worn out.
Yeah, and it broke. No. But I did. I still have that folder of all her pictures and all the things that I kept of hers. Anyway. Well, that's cool that you respond to your fans. That's nice.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
I think it's uncool to call somebody unless you're super cute. I'm just kidding.
Or
I don't
Phoebe
think
Kate.
I can say that. Or you're BB Kate. No, but it's very cool that you do that because I think we're in a different time now. I mean, people can follow you all over the world. You've got fans all over the world that can reach you and say hello to you. And I'm curious, why don't you post more on your Instagram?
Well, this has kind of been an issue with my team. Lately, I've been posting more.
Okay.
I.
It's just not of interest?
It's not really of interest. I'm very cynical. I can be very self-conscious. I don't like pictures, a lot of pictures of me.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to like see a picture and be like, I want to share that with everyone.
Got him.
But I'm getting better at it, and we're doing it.
I'm horrible
Sydney
at it.
Sydney is helping me. She's taking more pictures of me.
Who's Sydney?
Sydney is my girlfriend.
Wow. Is it okay if we mention your name on here? Okay, cool. Well, she's very lovely. Thank you for bringing her.
Yeah.
Give her the mic for a second. What's your name?
Sydney Hudson.
It's so nice to meet you. Thanks for coming with Connor.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. It's you guys, pleasure. By the way, you guys are a beautiful couple.
Thank you.
So you're not an actress, which is, by the way, super refreshing.
I'm just like going to school for sustainability and environmental science.
That's beautiful. You know what? We need more of that.
Yes.
The world needs a lot of that. Yeah.
I feel like I needed to do something like that.
Yeah.
With my education. Yeah.
And in 40 years, where do you see yourself?
Possibly with Connor.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful.
Good answer.
Somewhere though, with a big house.
Yeah.
Yes.
Helping the world.
Helping the world.
Do you think? Are you from Los Angeles?
No, I'm from Eugene, Oregon.
Okay, so you're from Oregon. Do you see yourself living anywhere other than the United States?
I'm pretty in love with the Northwest.
Yeah.
We just have it all.
Yeah,
like
you do.
Mountains,
yeah,
oceans,
you do. It's gorgeous there.
It's gorgeous.
Well, look, we wish you luck.
Yes,
and
thank you.
In your relationship as well. Absolutely. And thanks for chatting.
Yeah, thank you.
She's actually, yeah, she kind of gets on me a lot. She taught me like all the proper ways to recycle and, you know, whatnot.
Oh, I thought you just threw it all in one thing and then it recycled. No, they recycle it later.
No, I guess, come on, I guess not.
Is that not how it works?
No.
That's how I thought it worked.
I thought they figured it out eventually, don't they?
No, Roberts. Roberts, we were driving down the street in Carson. You straight took your straw, the thing out.
That's
out
not
the window.
True. That's like, not
hey,
true.
Holmes. You're like, what?
It's a paper straw.
It's paper. It's a paper straw. It's biodegradable. Don't work like that. He did it. I'm just kidding.
I do post a lot, though. Like, going back to Instagram, I post a lot. It drives my kids crazy. I love posting about anything and everything. And when I'm
out.
You don't
post a lot, do you?
Yeah, I do. I love I just love taking pictures of wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing.
Consistent?
Yeah. It might not be every day, but it's definitely once a week.
Yeah.
You get
artistic too with some of your shots.
Sometimes. Look, I like beautiful shots. I like taking pictures of my family, my wife, you know, and like, you know, I take a picture with you on set and I like to post stuff about where I'm working. It's important to me.
A journal.
Yeah.
Of your.
Yeah. I mean,
memories.
People are going to be looking at my life and be going like, hey, this guy seemed to have a pretty good time. I try to stay positive. But what I do want to say before we get down too much of a K-hole here is you're an inspiring young man.
Thank you.
You're a great actor. You're a great technician at your character. I know that you're critical of your performance because I don't think there was ever a time that you walked off and said like, I nailed that.
Yeah.
You always walked off going like, are you sure that was okay? That wasn't right. Yeah. So that's admirable because I think people like yourself always want to do a better, you want to do the character and you want to make sure that people are satisfied and that you entertain. So
absolutely.
I really find that, beautiful about you. And I connect with you on a completely different level. Like culturally, I think it's really neat that, you know, we both have like the Mexican blood mm-hmm. running through our veins.
We're buddies for sure.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. But I do want to say, look, I wish you a lot of luck. I feel like I want to say this now before you become Johnny Depp. When you become a really big star and I call you to be in something, like, don't ask me a bunch of questions and don't put a lawyer on me.
Never.
All right. So this is going to have to, you're going to have to tell your people, this is between us. I'm doing this.
Of course.
Okay. Because
I've seen that look before. Wait, what do you mean?
What are you talking about?
You're a attorney. I thought we were cool.
Right.
Wait, we had drinks the other night.
That is so true. No, but look, I do. I want to work with you more. I want us to do more things. I hope and I know that the show Ashley Garcia Genius in Love is going to do really well. You guys did an incredible second half and I can't wait for people to see it. Tell us where people can see it.
Netflix. And streaming on Netflix July 20th.
Right.
Yep. Yes.
I think you guys will be pleasantly surprised at how great it is.
It's definitely better than the first part, in my opinion.
It is, right? And it has a lot of heart in the second part, mm-hmm. you know? And there's a lot of music and there's a lot of romance.
Yeah. Yeah. How was the music? Good?
I thought the music was beautiful. I think extreme
music in there or no?
Huh?
Is there any extreme music on the show?
No, there's no extreme music on the show, and I'm glad you brought that up because I would have forgotten about Russ, and that's not a thing to forget about.
Russ.
And I want to talk to you about this because I think you'll appreciate this, and I don't know if you know about this, but have you heard of a company called ExtremeMusic.com?
No, I was just about to ask.
Okay, good.
Extreme Music.
So ExtremeMusic.com is a company that it's a library, right? Uh-huh. So as producers, we go there, and you pick tracks for your movie, for your commercial, for your series, whatever. The thing that's really cool about this is that it used to be that these libraries only made music for, you know, industrials and stuff like that. Now it's become a big thing. Like now the theme song or one of the key songs to Sons of Anarchy is on extrememusic.com. That's where they got it from.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, that composer's made millions and millions of dollars on his tracks that he's put on Extreme Music. So extrememusic.com is a place where you can go pick music,
sell your songs.
Not only can you be a composer on Extreme Music, but it's where we go as producers to find tracks for, like, right now, I'm working on a movie, and I went there and I'm picking comedy beats, you know, mm-hmm. Mario meets the girl for the first time and they're kind of having a banter and it's sort of a romantic comedy. Yeah. So what did I put in? I pushed in romantic comedy. Mm-hmm. I typed it in and a bunch of comedy romantic tracks came on.
That's like, awesome. Do do
do do do, you know, yeah, so just goofy stuff. So I take all those tracks, I put them into the movie. We watch them. If Annie likes them, then we end up using them. If they don't, then we end up finding the composer does something like it, maybe, or gets inspiration from it. But the point is that you can go there, find just about anything: Christmas songs, Western, dramatic,
everything.
And it's an amazing place, whether you're a composer or you're someone, you know, if you're someone who creates a lot of music, you can put it up there and all over the world, they'll be able to download your stuff. So extrememusic.com for all your music needs.
Does Joel like that you're involved in that?
What is he, my girlfriend?
Well, no, he's the music super. I don't know.
You know, we were having a meeting the other day.
But you're a hands-on producer like that, which is pretty dope. That's usually not the case. Like,
well, it's like Connor. Connor is... he's a creative that has a music background. Therefore, if he's producing a movie or a television show, you're probably going to be very involved with the music.
Yeah, absolutely. I think about when I'm sitting down and I'm just thinking, I always think about songs that would go good for a movie like this or stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to use extrememusic.com now. Sounds great.
Go. Love it.
There you go.
I love that. Russ, there it is.
Connor, do you know that Roberts is a classically trained pianist from East L.A.?
I want to classically hear you play.
I'll play. I was classically trained for a lot of years, mainly because I grew up in East Los Angeles. So to stay off the streets, I would tell people that I have to practice.
That's awesome.
Right. So as people came to my door and go like, "Hey, let's go be a hoodlum," I'd be like, "I gotta." Is that a word? Is
hoodlum,
that a word?
Yeah.
Is that a, see, I'm a hoodlum.
Check them up. Shade or hoodlum. The coppers are gonna get us.
That's what we're talking East LA.
That's hilarious. Exactly. Hey, but But no, I did. I did. I was trained. I did play many years as a kid, and I did stay out of trouble by doing that. So every once in a while, I'll tickle the ivories, and people will be like, "What?
No, that's one amazing. Ever, I can't wait to hear you play."
No, I know.
Well, we'll do it soon. But, dude, I do want to say this. I want to say what I was saying before, that you're amazing. I'm really glad I met you. Yeah, me too. Please, people, go check out Ashley Garcia,
Genius in Love.
Genius in Love Genius on in Netflix. Love. And check out Connor Houston, because he's amazing and he's going places, and we're going to do a movie together.
Hell yeah.
And it's going to be, I think we should do something like the Johnny Depp thing. I think we should do something like, what was that movie called with the pirates?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
What was that? Let's do that.
Let's do a Pirates of the Caribbean. We'll do like seven movies, like where the budgets keep going to like 300 million, 400 million, 500 million. And then I'll still be going like, "What? Your lawyer? Why is your lawyer calling?"
That'd be great.
I thought we were cool. We had tequila.
I thought we were good.
Remember
we had tequila. Remember?
What happened?
But thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, man. Love you.
Love you too. Sydney, thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us and telling us about your life, because sometimes entertainment gets super boring.
Yes.
Let's get together again soon. Thanks for being on Let's Get Into Entertainment.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Greetings from Ireland. This is a quick taste of what to expect from the Tommy and Hector with Loretta Blewett podcast.
There's rubbish and old hurlies and everything in the utility toilet. And I'd be sandwiched in there and I just go... And someone then, I can hear someone in the kitchen going, "I'm in here, by the way."
But I remember visiting your house as a teenager and none of your toilets had locks on the door. And I'd often be wandering out from the kitchen and hear your mother shouting out,
"I'm in here, by the way."
Just let anybody who's passing know I've been here, by the way.
Listen to this show on the Acast app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast recommends.